You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
It's Todd Zwillick. Welcome back to The Takeaway. And we have a story now about what can happen when a ruling from Washington on the fundamentals of justice reaches the 50 states. The Supreme Court ruled in 2016 that juveniles can no longer be sentenced to life in prison without parole. After that, the justices went further, and they said that current juvenile sentences could be up for review. Thousands of inmates around the country are now getting their sentences reviewed as a result. And even though they were convicted as juveniles, some of them have served more than 50 years. The Associated Press is launching a three-part series now examining how states are heading in different directions when it comes to handling these cases and exposing a system that can often seem arbitrary when courts decide who gets out of prison and who stays locked up for life. Sharon Cohen is a national writer for the Associated Press, and she brings us the story of Bobby Hines, who's up for parole in September.
Bobby Hines was a 15-year-old Detroit kid back in 1989 when he and two other teenagers went over to confront a young man over a friend's stolen jacket. And in the course of that, the 21-year-old man, James Warren, was killed. Bobby was not the shooter, and he did not have the gun, but he was charged and convicted of mandatory life without parole. So at 15, he faced the rest of his life in prison, and he rejected a plea at the time of 20 to 40 years. He ended up serving more time than the two people who were with him. One was the shooter and one who had supplied the gun.
And how long of a sentence did Bobby Hines serve?
Bobby Hines has been in prison more than 27 years. He faced a resentencing that made him eligible for parole. He had a hearing before a parole board, and he is set to be released in September.
So Bobby Hines and his case sound like prime examples of the type of case that the Supreme Court was talking about in their recent ruling that told states and jurisdictions to go back and reconsider the sentences for inmates who were convicted to life without parole as juveniles. How has that ruling affected his case?
Well, that gave him the opportunity for a resentencing. And his case was particularly interesting because the sister and the father of the victim both appeared on his behalf and urged that he be released. And that's pretty unusual.
So we've been covering the Supreme Court's ruling, Sharon Cohen, on this show with stories similar to Bobby Hines and inmates in other jurisdictions around the country. And those differences sound like they're really important because after the order from the Supreme Court's justices, it seems like different states are implementing the ruling and doing resentencing at very different rates under very different criteria. Can you talk about that?
There's a patchwork of justice. So the impact of the Supreme Court decision varies from county to county. And a lot of the prosecutors in Michigan, for example, are seeking new no-parole sentences for all or most of their juvenile lifers. In other states, in Pennsylvania, they're moving along. They've resentenced about 100 or more of their more than 500 inmates. So the justice system is working in different ways. And in some places, prosecutors don't want the release of their inmates, and others, they're amenable to resentencings. In Wayne County, for example, in Detroit, the prosecutor there has been open to resentencing in more than half of their cases. In other counties, in the neighboring county, only 5 of 49 cases are eligible for resentencing. So some prosecutors are taking a very hard line on this. Others are not. And they're difficult cases because there's victim families to consider. There's the question of rehabilitation. And in some places, defense attorneys say that prosecutors are just flouting the Supreme Court's laws by not focusing on the rare offender. They're trying to resentence everybody.
But does this mean that the implementation, the fulfilling of the Supreme Court's order is going prosecutor by prosecutor, county by county, and not even state by state? Are individual prosecutors responsible for fulfilling what the justices said?
In many of these cases, what you're finding is the first cases that are coming before to be resentenced and going before parole boards are those cases in which prosecutors and defense attorneys have agreed to a term of years. In other words, they've found some kind of agreement, and they will propose that to the judge. The cases that have not been heard in Michigan and some in Pennsylvania are the cases where they are seeking life without parole again. So those are the tougher ones, and those are going to come up ahead. And we haven't heard from those in Michigan yet because there's a Michigan Supreme Court case that's to decide whether judges or juries will hear those cases. So the cases we're seeing now go before the courts are the ones where there's often some kind of agreement between the defense attorney and the prosecutor on a recommended sentence, and then they will go before the judge. So there's a lot of the tougher ones still to come.
And what kind of factors are those defense attorneys and prosecutors considering, or the judges considering, when they get a deal or recommend a new sentence? What kind of factors are they considering in that inmate when that inmate was a kid?
They look at the crime. They look at the circumstances of the crime. They look at how the inmate has done in prison. Did he or she get a GED? Did he have a good work record? What is his rehabilitation? They look at mental health records as well. And then on the other side, the defense is arguing that in many of these cases, these were 14, 15, 16-year-olds who deserve a second chance, that what they were then is not what they are now.
Bobby Hines was 15 when he helped commit this crime and was convicted. How did he do in prison for all these years? He was there by the time he was an adolescent and a young adult, and he spent so many years since.
He did pretty well. At the beginning, he had a record for violations that involved fighting, but then he settled down. He got his GED. He had a very good work record. He was not a problem inmate. So as he got older, he did well, and that was one of the things that was mentioned in the court hearing.
Michigan moving in a patchwork fashion to implement the orders of the Supreme Court when it comes to juveniles convicted to life in prison without parole. Sharon Cohen of the Associated Press, thank you.
Thank you.